Well, on the calendar, you know, it's Mother's Day. And the Bible gives us information about mothers. And so it's that information that we want to share today. Obviously, mothers have a special role. The word mothers mentioned 245 times in the Bible. We may not have known that. Some of the earliest ones are back in Exodus 20 and verse 12. It's one of the original 10 commandments. Listen to this. Honor your father and your mother. You fast forward several centuries and you read Paul writing to the church at Ephesus and he says, young people, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, I certainly understand today is a day of mixed emotions. Here's what I know. Today. Today's a difficult day for a lot of people. They have told me when you mention the word mother, I did not have a good relationship with my mother, nor do I have a good relationship with her today. And I cringe at the thought and the sound of the word mother. And I know there are people in that capacity today. And here's what I tell people who find themselves in that capacity today. You did not have a good mother, but you can be a good mother. You can be a good mother to your children. You can be a good influence to your grandchildren. And so I want to challenge you to rise above the poor influence and the poor example that you might have had with an earthly mother. I could also tell you today that for many of us, it's a very difficult time because our mothers are no longer with us. My brother and I were texting earlier this morning. We talk or text about every day. And he has a morning radio show in Huntsville, Alabama, and also preaches on Sundays for a church in Fayetteville, Tennessee. And he said, I've been thinking about our mother all weekend long. And I said, well, I have too. As a matter of fact, as I was reviewing my lesson for this morning, about 7:30 or 8 o'clock this morning, I started to get that sentimental feeling where the tears just come to your eyes and you can't stop it. And so I said, well, you better get a hold of yourself. It's been 15 years and I still miss her tremendously. And I'm one of those people who had a good mother. And by good, I mean a mother that loved us to where she sacrificed for us. I mean, she did. And where she taught us the value of life and the value of relationships. I don't ever remember my mother picking up something and wailing it across the room because she was angry. I don't remember my mother stomping her foot, clapping her hands, and saying, you'll do it because I said so. I don't remember it. I remember the example that she was, and the sacrifice that she made. And still today, I miss her. So I understand the emotion that we may have today. I want you to think for a few minutes about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how incredible it must have been to know that you were carrying Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You were carrying Jesus. When Jesus was 12, and they went to that Passover and that feast, the Jews had three of them every year. And they went there and they were in caravans, no doubt, a lot of people traveling and they began to leave and pack up and go back to their home. And after a couple of days, Mary looks around and says, whoa, wait a minute. Where's my son? I don't see Jesus. They scurry back and at the age of 12, they see him confounding the religious leaders of his day as he is in that area affecting people with his mind and his heart. And Mary says, son, Why have you done this to your father and I? And the first recorded words of Jesus are in Luke 2:49. Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? I have something bigger. I have bigger goals, bigger plans, bigger dreams, bigger aspirations. I must be about the business of my father. I think it's very possible that Mary could have traveled some with Jesus. When Jesus went to that wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, it says that Jesus' mother was with him. And when they ran out of refreshing drink, Mary asked Jesus to do something that he maybe wasn't prepared to do or ready to do at that time, but he was capable of doing it. He produced his first miracle here in John 2:1-11. When we get to Matthew 13 and verse 55, there was some innuendo thrown out about Jesus like this. Is this not the carpenter's son? Mary and Joseph with his brothers and sisters saying about Jesus that he was incapable of being who he was because he came from a carpenter. Son, father, became a carpenter. As we get to the end of Jesus' life in the book of John chapter 19, it's very, very touching. Because here is Jesus suspended between heaven and earth, and Jesus recognizes his mother. And here's what he says in John 19:25-27. Woman, behold your son. Look upon me. Because I'm fixing to die. And then he says, I want to make sure that my mother's taken care of. And he says, behold my mother. And he asked the disciple whom he loved, John, to make sure that Jesus' mother was taken care of. Jesus had a tremendous love for his earthly mother. So I want you to think this morning about Mary, the mother of Jesus. What that must have been like to birth him, to train him, to teach him, to encourage him, to understand eventually that he was going to have to go to the cross and give his life for ungodly people like you and me. Then I want to call your attention to the incredible lady and mother in Proverbs chapter 31. So if you will, take your Bibles over there, and I just want to run through some things here about this wonderful lady in Proverbs 31. If you look at verses 13, 19, and 22, that we know that she sows, S-E-W-S. And look at these verses, 13, 19, and 22. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands, 19. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and holds her hands, and her hands hold the spindle. The distaff was the thing at the top that held the flax and the wool, and the spindle was at the bottom, if you think about that old-timey piece of machinery and tool. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She sews. How many times? I wished I had a dollar for every time. I heard in our household, three older sisters, younger brother, my dad, somebody walk up to my mom and say, hey, mom, I got a hole in this. Can you sew it up? You know what she never did say? You put the hole in it, you sew it up. She always said, I'll do it. I'll get it done. That's the type of mother I had. I tell you what, our children have the same type of mother, all right? They still get in the holes. They need sewed up, all right? She's still doing it. She sews. Number two, she shops. Now, this ought to make you ladies feel really, really good. You don't hear too many men patting ladies on the back for shopping, all right? I know women, they like to graze. Men, they go in and get it and get out, you know. But look at verse 14. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She cooks. Now, I'm not saying men can't cook. I mean, if you've ever been around Tim Haines, he greases a skillet pretty well. But he had to have learned it from someone, all right? But look at verse 15. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. She cooks. And I'm here to tell you that I was fortunate enough to have lived under the influence of a mother who could cook. I don't want to say this too loud because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings in the room. I didn't know what instant potatoes were for a long, long time in my life. I didn't know what that... Somebody said instant potatoes. I said, what is that? I didn't know what instant potatoes was. Never had them. Never had them. You know those pie crusts that you buy at the store? Never had one of those when I was growing up. She made those crusts. And I'm here to tell you right now, the best cherry cobbler you ever put in your mouth. There would be times she would know that I was coming home to visit. Guess what was on the table when I walked in the door? Cherry cobbler. And who was that cherry cobbler for? Right here. Somebody else tried to get that cherry cobbler, I'll smack your hand. That's for me. My mama did that for me. She could cook. She plants. Look at verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Now, I'll tell you this about our girl's mother. She's got the gift of the green thumb. And Tina can flat plant a garden. And she's passed that on to Jenny Lynn. And there's nothing like, Shorty, there's nothing like a tomato out of the garden. Shorty, can you say amen? We can't see you nor can we hear you. Or a strawberry. That fresh strawberry out of that patch. Oh, there's nothing like it, Michael. Is there? You let yours die. But look what else that mother can do. She's strong. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. I mean, that mother, she can take you in her arms and then there's just some power there. I'm not saying she was a weightlifter. I'm saying that she had the strength and the power. I love this. She's prepared. No oil is going to go out of that lamp. Watch this. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She is prepared. She also has a good relationship with her husband and with her children. And she works at that relationship with her husband and with her children. Let's read it. Proverbs chapter 31, 11 and 12. The heart of her husband also safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now watch how she relates to her children, 26 through 30. This verse here, 26, I promise you this is worth coming for today. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Oh, when you look back, your mother was one of the wisest people who ever lived. If you had that good relationship with her, and you look back and you think, she's imparting wisdom. She's giving me instruction. She's helping me. And on her tongue is not bitterness. It's not sarcasm. It's not being bullheaded and stubborn and hard-hearted and hard-headed. It's kindness. I love you. I want the best for you. I support you. I believe in you. I have seen and watched an old rickety woman who had a bad wheel and a bad leg and a bad hip, and whose life was wrecked by the drug prednisone that she had to take for 30 years because she had COPD and COLD. I watched her struggle up a set of steps so she could hear her son preach Jesus. Thank you, Mom. She loved her children. And on her tongue was the law of kindness. In verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Watch 30. Watch 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman who fears God, who fears the Lord, a woman who fears God is a woman who to be praised. I am so thankful God gave me a woman like that in my life who feared God, who respected God, who revered God, who said, son, I don't care what you do. You walk through those doors every time they open. You get in there because you get to see God and you have a relationship with Jesus and you get the word in your life. Thank you, Mom, for doing that for me. Let me close with it's a Spanish proverb. I'd never found this before this week. And here it is. An ounce of motherhood is worth a pound of preaching. I believe that statement wholeheartedly. So this morning, here's my charge. May God give us more Christian mothers. And the church said amen. Amen, church.
Amen.
And I'm going to ask you ladies today, if you measure up to Proverbs 31, and if you're having a relationship with your husband, like we read about in Proverbs 31, and if you're taking care of your children, like we read about in Proverbs 31, and if you're the backbone of that home, and you let that man be the leader in that home, is that the kind of home that you live in? If not, why not? And if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? We save our country when we have those type of women in the backbone of those homes that in turn are a part of our church families. This morning it may be that you're not a Christian, and the opportunity would afford itself this morning to change your life as your heart has been pricked, and to by faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, a desire to turn your life from the ways of the world to the ways of God. A beautiful, sweet confession from your lips and from your heart that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want to consummate that by reaching the blood of Christ in that watery grave of baptism. It may be that you are a mother, but you haven't lived the way you ought to live. Maybe you're a father and you haven't treated that lady the way you ought to treat her. Maybe you're a young person and you haven't been very nice to your mom. You haven't been very encouraging to your mother. You haven't patted her on the back and you told her that you loved her. You as a youth, you need to respond to the gospel of Christ. Say, I'm sorry for making my home divisive. I'm sorry. And say you're sorry to God and sorry to your mother while you have time and opportunity. Don't let this opportunity pass, because it won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend. Will you come, Brian, as we stand and sing?